Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena and Happy New Year. This is the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. And my guest today on our first podcast of 2020 is my Crozet neighbor, Steve Garland, who's better known as the longtime head coach of the UVA wrestling team. Steve, welcome back. How are things going? Happy New
Year. Thanks, brother. Happy New Year. Things are going good. Everything that matters is good.
Good. So you're in season. So your schedule is a little bit different this time of year than a lot of your peers' schedules. But how were your holidays? What's Christmas like at the Garland household?
Yeah, well, so it's not much, but it's enough. So what we do is I actually go to Ironman. It's funny how ridiculous wrestling is. I'm constantly recruiting, right? So the toughest high school wrestling tournaments in the country are during this time of year. It makes
right.
no sense. So it's like I go from Ironman in Ohio, and then I did home visit in Pennsylvania, and then right from there, Beast of the East. Which is the second toughest tournament in the country in high school. And so I go right from the Beast of the East back to the office for a day to catch up, and then Christmas Eve is the next day. So basically I got Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then the 26th. So I got 3 days, so that was awesome.
And then you start training for
Medlands. And then boom, we're right back, the 26th that night. And as far as what we did, I hang out with, Travis just had a new daughter, Travis Paulson, our associate head coach. So we went over to his house and hung out. My girls and his girls are buddies, so we had a lot of fun with them.
So this is your 14th season as head coach at your alma mater. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. Praise God, I still got a job.
We're a couple months into the season now. You brought a lot back from last year's team. What do you make of your latest group? Your record in dual meets is 3-1, and that one loss was to a nationally ranked Arizona State team on a day when Jack Mueller did not wrestle.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
So, what's interesting about our sport is it's a combination every year of dual meets and tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've had a lot of good, and, some of the dual meets in particular, I thought we really came together as a team in a lot of ways. I thought that the Arizona State match that we actually lost, I actually thought we competed really hard, and we always talk about competing in such a way. And to sum that up, it means the way you compete and how faithful you are when you're out there is what matters more than the outcome. And so we were actually really happy with our kids walking out of that gym. So tournaments, on the other hand, it's crazy. It's been this mixture of, really awesome stuff. Like, for example, J.A.L.O. knocking off the number one seed from Iowa at the Midlands tournament. Or, Denton Spencer winning a very tough bracket at Keystone. Or Louis Hayes just looking amazing at some of But then there's also been some bad stuff, some head-scratcher stuff. Oh, mm-hmm. Forgot about even Jack winning Vegas, the toughest tournament in the country. So there's been a lot of good stuff, but then there's been also some things that, as I put, growth moments, where we go back to the drawing board with our team and say, guys, we have to fix this. So what it's done is it's helped us see where we need to get better. But then I told the guys yesterday in our team meeting, it's up to you guys to fix that stuff, though. I can't go out there and do it for you. We can go over out the back door finish for 2 weeks straight, and if you do it wrong still, brother, that's on you. That's not on me.
Right.
That's not on me. That's on you.
You guys came off of Christmas. You competed in the Chicago area at the Midlands Championships last week. That was something of a homecoming for Louis Hayes.
Yep.
And he placed fifth at 133
pounds. Jake
Keating,
too.
Jake Keating both wrestled well out there. Louis in particular, I'm working on a story on him that will run next week, but I talked to him before Christmas, and he was very honest about what a struggle last season was for him. He said he was not disciplined when it came to his diet and a lot of things, and he seems like a changed man. What have you seen from him kind of on and off the mat this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, he is a brutally honest kid, which makes it so much of a joy to coach him, because most kids say they want the truth, but they don't. Most kids say they want you to give them the hard stuff, but Louis is actually one of those kids that can take it, and he is brutally honest about last year. He wasn't doing the right things, and he suffered the consequences, and now this year he's doing everything right. His body looks great. His wrestling is amazing. We talk about referencing competing in such a way. He's the guy. Him, Jack, and Jay are the poster childs, literally, for what we want our program to be known as. I mean, when Louis goes out there, he's dominating ties. He's frustrating the heck out of the wrestler. He's going forward. As a matter of fact, he lost the matches last weekend, because he was going too hard, too forward, without more strategy. But we'd rather have that. We'd rather have a guy who never backs off and never backs down, and that's Louis.
When people kind of outside the athletic department ask me how one of the teams at Virginia is going to do, my stock response anymore is, tell me how many injuries are going to be and who's going to get hurt, and I'll have a better idea how the team's going to do. Last year in men's basketball, Tony had virtually every player available for virtually every game. Yep. You know, this year Bronco lost his whole secondary, and the defense suffered late in the season. Your program has had some tough luck with injuries over the years. Is that, I know that's just part of the sport. That's got to be difficult as a coach, right? Because you prepare and you have a lineup on paper that
every
you
year.
Think you're going to have,
yeah.
and something happens. And sometimes it's to a guy you know, can't afford to lose.
You better believe it. Incredibly frustrating. It's one of those things in life where I think all head coaches are control freaks because we kind of have to be, right? Everything's ultimately our fault. And so you try to control everything, and that's the one thing you can't. I mean, I can't control somebody twisting, getting a high ankle sprain in the middle of a match,
right.
or somebody tearing their labrum. Like what happened with Tyler Love this year, one of our captains, our fifth-year senior at 184, our starter, he locked up a cradle and his shoulder blew out the back, dislocated, and took his pec, his bicep, took everything. I mean, how the heck can you can't, there's no way I could have, I've never even seen that injury in all the years I've been wrestling, so in that position. So, yeah, that's hard, and I think it goes back to, then we have to, you know, it's funny.
My apologies for the audio problem. Yeah. There's construction right on the other side of this wall.
So controlling what you can control, I have to practice what I preach, is you only control what you can control, and that's, okay, well, what can I do today to help make our team better and to try to make an impact? And so every morning and every night I'm obsessing about that and hopefully not obsessing about the injuries. And I think I've gotten a little bit better at that over the years, but I have to continue to grow there because the guys can feel it on me. When I'm stressed about that stuff, then they're stressed about it.
And I'm sure it's hard not to kind of play the what-if game sometimes.
You better believe it.
And look at a dual meet and say, what if we had this guy available?
Yeah.
Last season, the high point from an individual standpoint, obviously, was Jack Mueller, who was NCAA runner-up at 125 pounds. He's back for his final season. He's been wrestling great. He's not going to compete in every tournament or every dual meet this season. What's your strategy with him during the regular season? I'm guessing it's all about getting him to peak.
Correct.
In the postseason.
Correct. And so it's about the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is to be the first, he wants to be, you know, first national champ. Hopefully we have more national champs this year, but I mean, he's the first weight class, right? So he'll be the first one to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the goal. And in order to do that, we felt like we had to make sure we tried to peak him and also for health reasons, make sure that we try to get him as healthy as possible and not wear him out. You know, the making weight every week when you're cutting as much weight as Jack, it wears down the body and the mind, and so we're trying to keep him fresh. That's the theory behind it.
When he's not at 125, you still got a pretty solid wrestler there, right?
Sure. Patch McCormick is he beat a nationally ranked guy at the Keystone, was in the finals, and he had a bad Midlands. But, you know, obviously he's a redshirt freshman too, so he's still growing, as I said before. And we're hoping, next weekend at Virginia Duels, it's in his backyard. He's from Pocosin, Virginia, so it should be pretty cool for him to wrestle there.
When you're at any tournament, when a guy loses his first match, I'm sure the pressure just mounts, right? Because you know one more and you're done.
Well,
so no margin for error.
You're looking at like six matches to place or five, whatever it is, and you're thinking, holy
to fight your way back. From a team standpoint, I know you were disappointed with the way last season went. How did that change your approach to the offseason, your training in the offseason for the team?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We put in an unbelievably hard offseason. We trained our tails off. And with the RTCs now, the way the new system works, you can do that. I mean, we went to tournaments all over the country. We were constantly getting better and learning wrestling positions. And the Paulsons were leading the charge on that because they're the best technicians and they're the guys that's their gift. And so, gosh, I don't know what we could. I don't know if we could have put in more time and more effort. So I felt good about that. That's why I was in such a good mood in the fall, because I felt like – I remember telling Keith Gavin this. He was asking me why I stress out about certain things. I said, the only time for me that I get really upset is I feel like when I wasn't faithful in the process. And that's when I get stressed. I feel like if I messed up, if I didn't do something right, then I do go back and kick myself and beat myself up. But I have strange peace. If I handle everything right and the outcome doesn't go the right way, I'm typically okay because I know I did everything right.
Right.
And I feel like we did everything we were supposed to do this summer.
So you return to competition, the team, next weekend at the Virginia Duels, which – is kind of a historic event, isn't it? It's been, I don't know how many years it's been going, but it's been going for a long time.
Called the granddaddy of them all.
Still at the Hampton Coliseum, right?
Yeah.
Amazing that building is still standing. I saw the stones there many, many years ago.
Really?
Among other things. So then you come back home I mean, the Virginia duels are next Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
Then your next home duel meet, Friday, January the 17th against Chattanooga.
Right.
Then you're back at Mem Gym the next night to wrestle
VMI. Yep.
Then the big one on the calendar, or a big one, Virginia Tech comes to town, and you're doing that here at John Paul Jones Arena on Friday, January 31st. What do you like about wrestling at JPJ?
Well, that's going to be huge, and just a shameless plug here. Please, everybody, that if you can make it, make it. If you don't know anything about wrestling, you're going to see some very, very elite, high-level wrestling. Virginia Tech's team's amazing. We've got amazing guys. They've got amazing guys. You're going to see some high-level combatants. You're going to see hand-to-hand combat at its finest. Come be entertained. The John Paul Jones Arena, what we're excited about is, and I got in trouble for saying this years ago, but I'm going to say it again. We get to be treated like the basketball team gets treated, which is a first-class venue experience, amazing event atmosphere, beautiful building, beautiful facilities, beautiful amenities that, you know what, our team doesn't get to enjoy like other teams here at the University of Virginia. So, yeah, I love it that my guys get to do that. I love it that we get to step out there, hopefully, God willing, a huge crowd in one of the most beautiful arenas in America and go do what we love to do. So for us, look, I'm not trying to knock them, Jim. Right. I'm just saying that it is a bigger deal to wrestle here. And we want to ultimately, the dream is to have every match in here. And we want to, if you build it, they will come. We want to show our administration and show our loyal alumni base that we can do this. We can do this all the time, every year. And this is what we want to do moving forward.
Right. Let's talk about some of the guys in the lineup. We've mentioned Jack at 125, Louie at 133, kind of going up the lineup. You got Brian Courtney at 41.
Yep.
Denton Spencer, who transferred here last year.
Correct.
From Gardner-Webb.
Yep.
He's winning a lot, and he wins by pins, isn't he?
Right. He's one of the, national leaders in pins, yeah, right now.
What's it been like coaching him? And has he always had that style, or is that something that...
He's always been like that. So I've known him since he was a kid. I actually got to do a camp down in Florida years and years ago. I think he was a sophomore in high school. I got to share the gospel down there and also teach wrestling at an FCA wrestling camp. And that's how we met. That's, he heard me speak for the first time. And then we wanted him out of high school, and he went to Gardner-Webb. It didn't work out. And then obviously we were able to him to, you know, get the release, change his mind, and come here later on as a transfer. Very, very good on top. Very strong, very explosive. One of the more talented, physically gifted guys we have on the team. Then, you know, moving on up from there, you got
Justin McCoy, redshirt freshman.
Yeah, redshirt freshman who's been absolutely awesome. As not only as a redshirt last year, he had an amazing redshirt year. What he's been doing this year, he's wrestled. His RPI is going to be through the roof. He's wrestled so many studs this year already. I mean, his competition schedule has been crazy. So we're really proud of Justin. We really think he's going to be something special moving forward. So.
And then at 65. Cam Coy,
yep.
When he's healthy, and
correct.
That's the challenge. 74, Victor Marcelli.
He's another redshirt freshman. He's part of that. That recruiting class was amazing for us. Yeah, Vic is he just placed at Millens as a freshman, and it's really hard to do. You know, and the scary part is about Vic, he hasn't even been wrestling well, and he's been winning. You know, what could he do when he puts it all together? And so, you know, when he starts really scoring points, like this summer, while we were so encouraged by him, when he plays second at the World Team Trials, because he was scoring from anywhere. He finds ways to score points, and this year he hasn't opened up like that yet. And when he does, gosh, he's going to be even better. So, and he's young, so we're really pumped about him.
Then at 84, you mentioned Tyler Love. He's out for the year, unfortunately, with the injury. So Michael Batista has been doing well there.
Yeah.
Then 97, you move up to one of your big guns, J.I. Allo.
Yep.
What is kind of his ceiling, do you think? I mean, he's obviously wrestling really well this year.
Well, in our team meeting yesterday, I praised him for wrestling through fatigue, finding a way to get tough and win matches. I mean, he out-toughed one of the toughest guys in the country, Iowa guy. They're known for their conditioning. They're known for their mental toughness, and they are. They're an amazing team. And so to get a win like that over a guy like that was great, and it showed the other guys on the team what we can do as a program. And what I ended with is the scary part about Jay is he still has a lot of technical things to improve on. Can you imagine if he tightens those things up, how deadly he's going to be? He was the 7th seed at Nationals last year, and he still has a lot of wrestling to learn. And so, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he's an amazing example of what we want for Virginia wrestling. A guy that has some physical gifts, but that he's extremely hardworking, extremely disciplined, lives the right lifestyle, and wants to be great.
At heavyweight, you have Quinn Miller, who's probably the most talented guy I can remember in a long time in this program. When he's healthy, it looks like he's got a pretty high ceiling too.
Yeah, he's a freak. And in our meeting yesterday, I called him out and said, when Mark Ellis and I home visited him, Ellis said it was the – and Ellis tried out for the NFL. I mean, that's how good a football player he was. He said that Quinn was the most talented and best high school football player he'd ever seen. So Quinn is an absolute freak physically. He's been wrestling great for us. He's struggled with a couple injuries, but he's been great. I mean, this weekend he should have played some Millens. I mean, should have, would have, could have. But he was winning 7-2, 8-2 with riding time and got rolled through. Put himself in really dumb position, made a really dumb mistake, and essentially pinned himself. He got defensive fouled. If he doesn't do that, I think he places, and then it's a totally different thing. But it's more about if you would have saw in that match some of the things he did physically to the other guy. To be able to pick a man that size up and put him down like the way he does, trust me, it's pretty darn impressive.
You have this year, like any year, a number of wrestlers are redshirting. Some of these guys like Jake Keating and Robbie Patrick and Drew Peck have wrestled for you. They're not first-year guys. What goes into the decision? It's common in the sport of college wrestling to have mid-career red shirts. What goes into the, you know, decision to
redshirt
a guy who's already competed once?
Well, I'm not trying to avoid the question, but it's different for everybody. You know, I think I try to remind the guys who are redshirting about this because sometimes I think even they lose focus on why they're doing it. The reason is to get better. It's not like other sports where I guess they don't do it a whole lot. With us, it might be physical growth for some guys.
Right.
It might be, you know, hey, you know, you really need to work on this. We need to make you go up a weight. Whatever it is, you're trying to get the guy to improve. And if redshirting helps you improve in the long-term goals, then it's worth it. Some guys don't redshirt.
Yeah,
you know, Jack never.
Jack
and Chris Henrik never did. He didn't need to. Travis Lee, my first ever national champ by coach, he never redshirted. So there's other guys that don't do it. There's some guys that just it's about development. It's about a year extra of development.
Right. As you mentioned, you're based in Mim Gym these days, but you know that's only a temporary home for you. What would the master plan mean for UVA wrestling?
It'd be everything.
Yeah.
I mean, again, to reference what I read before, we're grateful for Memorial Gymnasium and what the university and our athletic department has done for us to provide a facility to train in over there. But we are absolutely 100% fixated on what can be and what will be in the new master plan. With that, now we can compete with the big boys finally. You know, we want to have the state of the art. We want to have the best stuff. So that way, facilities do matter. I don't care what anyone says. When we bring in the number one stud from Ohio and we're competing against Ohio State, who has a $10 million room, we need to walk them in the Olympic Sports Fieldhouse and say, hey, check this out. This is what we're calling the master plan. Look at how beautiful this. Look at all the resources. Look what we got. And walk them into our new wrestling facility with a giant smile on my face. And that's a dream.
Yep. You are surrounded in your office by Paulsons. Your full-time assistants are Travis and Trent Paulson, who are twins. Your volunteer assistant is their nephew, Trevor Paulson. He's the one with the hair, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe maybe the chemistry between you guys now? I mean, this is year three for the twins and year two for Trevor, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. I mean, look, we all get along. Like, I get along great with both Travis and Trent, different types of relationships. Believe it or not, even though they're twins, I have a twin brother too. And me and my twin brother are a lot alike in a lot of ways, but we're very different. They're very different. I mean, me and Trent have a different relationship than me and Travis type thing, you know, and I will say this. What's funny is Travis and Trent constantly, the twins, constantly at each other's throats. They bicker, they fight. But what makes it work is their blood. And they also have each other's backs more than anybody. So they can do that. And then everything's fine. And so we've had some knockout, dragout wars in staff meetings. And I think most people, if they're in those meetings, would think, oh, my goodness, what just happened? And it's totally normal to us. It's totally functional. And everybody's hugging it out at the end of the day. So for me, it's been the best experience I've ever had because – I know we truly love each other. Sounds corny, and truly care about each other. And so we can pretty much say anything we want to each other. Whereas in years past, I've had great assistants. A lot of them are head coaches now. But there was never that – we didn't have that type of relationship where we were hanging out after work. Or we were, you know, I like having that. I like having the fact that we can professionally do the best we can. And then afterwards, I'm at Travis's house 3 days a week or I'm at Trent's house twice a week. To me, it's like – life's about relationship. And so for me, it's been really meaningful and deeper for me and my family to have that we've never had in the past, really that deep.
as we mentioned the last time you were on this show, this is not the ACC that you wrestled in as a UVA undergraduate.
No.
The league is absolutely loaded again, and I looked at the Intermat rankings today. And depending on the tournament or dual meet rankings, there's still multiple ACC teams in the top 10 and in the top 25. So
yeah.
Doesn't get any easier, does it?
No, it's funny you say it. That's why we're so fixated. We got to do everything we can over break, because once those ACC matches come, it's survival. I mean, you're just fighting every week. Every single bout is nuts, you know? So you're just like, oh, we got to get through this, man. We got to get better. We got to improve the thing, because it's like you're preparing for the Army, when you know that war that's coming, that battle that's coming, and you know you're there getting your camp ready for when they come over that ridge, man. You know you got to fight them. And so that's what we're trying to do, is get the horses ready, get everybody ready, so that way when we go into that end of the year run, we're as prepared as we can be.
So the ACC tournament is at Pitt this year, right?
Yep.
Then NCAA championships are in Minneapolis, which was the scene of the NCAA men's basketball
title
last spring. It'd be something if Jack went out there and Jay and whoever else and became the program's first NCAA champion. So good luck at the Virginia Duels next weekend. We'll see you out at Mib Gym and then at JPJ.
Thank you.
The spring semester has yet to start at the university, so things are a little slow around town. But there's a huge men's basketball game Saturday afternoon at JPJ where the Hoos will meet the Hokies. For information on that game and all things UVA athletics, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.